Hey, you guys, this is The Mask, and you guys are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. And you know what? You are smoking!
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode, it's been cold. I don't know about you guys, but I'm in the Midwest, Michigan. It's been freezing. So anyway, we're going to talk about a variety of topics on this episode, from the Google Home to a lot of film and television news, and some other things too along the way. So we got a bit of news. For one, Matt Reeves, the Batman, gets June 2021 release date, which means they're finally gonna actually do something. so they've given it a June 25th, 2021, officially, and the studio has also dated a rebooted Suicide Squad, which James Gunn is in talks to direct for August 2021. There's going to be other things. But yeah, Affleck is pretty much done as the Caped Crusader. It just remains to be seen who they're going to cast to be Batman. And obviously they're going to go younger. It's just knowing who they're going to cast. One of the ones that I had thought of a while back was like Jensen Ackles or somebody from Supernatural, but he's even kind of starting to get up there. So, funny enough, Boss Logic says, since Matt Reeves is looking for a younger Batman, I think they should give Robbie Amell a test shot. Because, quite honestly, like, he kind of looks like he could play a pretty presentable Bruce Wayne. I would be down with that, actually. He almost looks like he could play it like either Bruce Wayne, like young Bruce Wayne as Batman, or like a Terry McGinnis. Either way, I'd like to see what they do with it. I think that this could be a very interesting dynamic if they went with that, for him to be Batman. But yeah, it's a little sad Affleck didn't get much more under his belt and getting to use the role and whatnot, but you know, it is what it is, and DC's kind of botched their entire superhero universe, so they're having to restart everything from scratch other than Wonder Woman and Aquaman, which are really their only two that they have going for them at the moment. That and Shazam, which doesn't even play into the same continuity until they decide it does. So, it's a little interesting anyway. And then, of course, they've teased Margot Robbie's new Harley Quinn look for Birds of Prey with kind of, it looks, I don't know, more 80s in a sense. Like, they gave her more of an 80s haircut, pop star looking thing. Had a like "see you soon" short teaser video for the female driven Birds of Prey film, and looks happier, not like so drug induced as the first film of Suicide Squad. So we'll see what they do, but it's a very 80s. Styled Harley Quinn. So yeah, we'll see how this comes to play. But yeah, they're going to have decent cast of people that are well known, like Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Ewan McGregor, and Winstead is going to be playing Huntress, and Black Canary is going to be Journey Smollett Bell. And Renee Montoya is going to be played by Rosie Perez to save Cassandra Cain, who is Ella J. Basco. from The Black Mask, which is McGregor. It honestly sounds interesting, and I'll probably check it out. It's more interesting than what I thought it was going to be, just based on even that bit of small information. But yeah, we'll see how it comes to play out. But I suspect we're going to see a lot more of that as time progresses. And yeah. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, I haven't paid attention to the show in forever. And they dropped a new trailer. And they're saying, did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer spoil Avengers Endgame? And it gives, like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s new look with Mac as their head of the organization, Daisy Quake back. Yeah, they've got some things with, you know, very, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. being out in the open and kind of policing the world with, you know, the whole thing with Endgame, you know, basically the world expecting them to kind of play it out. Yeah, and of course Nick Fury, Spider-Man, Maria Hill are back in Spider-Man Far From Home. So they're saying that S.H.I.E.L.D. will get some kind of a nod in Endgame probably. And then they showed Phil Coulson, Agent Coulson, but he was a hologram at the first part. And up until the final shot, the entire trailer was about how Coulson died. Then at the end, Coulson is back, and they're saying that he seemingly has no recollection of the organization he was a part of, which probably means that they're either universe jumping or they're taking something from Captain Marvel with the Kree, or the Skrull. Yeah, because he had Kree blood before. But yeah, the show will probably, you know, explain how he's back, because it's obviously not the same Phil Coulson, considering he had his hand chopped off and the other one died because of the whole, you know, super blood thing, scenario, something. I don't even know what happened in the last season because I didn't watch. I kind of gave up on it. But yeah, it would be interesting if he was from another dimension or another, you know, basically because the snap of, you know, having the two, maybe two different Marvel universes colliding upon each other. So like the dead, you know, taking place at certain points, in time, it gets very convoluted, with the whole snap situation, which of course Kevin Smith thinks that Spider-Man Far From Home could technically take place before Infinity War began, which I could see that too, because the whole thing with Spider-Man getting on that, he gets on that bus to go over to the field trip in Far From Home, and he does the same thing in Infinity Wars, which leads me to believe that they take place concurrently. The only difference is he's not present because of Infinity War, if that makes any sense. And then with Endgame and reversing the snap and changing history and changing everything else, it could, in essence, nullify Infinity War and Endgame for all those except for the ones that are going to meet their fate in the film. Thus setting Spider-Man on his correct course before he got the Iron Spider suit, and therefore sticking with his original suit in it, or basically partially upgraded suit in Far From Home. So I could see that too. It's just, it remains to be seen how all this plays out. Either way, I plan on checking them all out. But yeah, Disney is finally gonna take over Fox and have them, you know, be expected to be complete by June. It took forever, man. On comicbook.com, they have this strategic growth and transformation drive of Disney's acquisitions. And it says, under Mr. Iger's leadership, Disney has created tremendous shareholder value driven by organic investments and successful integration of key acquisitions. And then they show in 2006, Disney agrees to acquire Pixar. And it starts showing them going up a little bit. And then it started to taper off, you know, in 2009, because they really didn't have anything that was decent. And, you know, Pirates and John Carter and all these other things, like, flopped like a fish. And then Disney, in 2009, signs an agreement to acquire Marvel Entertainment. And then it gets higher and it gets higher. And then it starts to taper off again around, like, mid-2011, before 2012. And then Disney agrees in October of 2012 to acquire Lucasfilm, which I predicted, like, 4 or 5 months before I even saw anything about it. Somebody brought it to my attention. I think it was Optimus Solo on a GCR and Wars episode of Star Trek vs. Star Wars. And then from there on, it just progressively climbed and climbed and climbed and climbed until 2015. And then it started to sink a little bit and then jump back up at the end. And then it started to sink around 2016. And then in 2017, if I can speak English, Disney acquires majority ownership of BAMTech, whatever that is, which really didn't do much for them. And then in December of 2017, Disney enters into a definitive agreement to acquire 21st Century Fox, which I didn't think it was going to take that long. And then in June of 2018, Disney enters into a revised agreement to acquire 21st Century Fox. And then finally, they're going to fully integrate by June and close and everything else. But they're saying that basically Iger's from 2016 or 2006 to 2019 has driven the company's acquisition and shareholder return up 485%, which is insane. Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, it's only going to keep climbing with their new Disney Plus app that comes out later this year, and seeing how that plays out, and seeing whether Hulu and Netflix and how all these services lose all of the Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, Fox content libraries. It's going to be a little bit insane. I foresee Fox will stay on whatever platforms it's on for now until Disney gets fully up and running, but I could imagine that they're going to power on through that pretty quickly. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. One thing I'm kind of excited for is it's terrible because, like, I like reprisals of old cast movies, but Dumb and Dumber-er kind of tuned me out to that, and it's kind of sad, to be honest, but Bill and Ted 3 might release this Christmas, says the producer of the film, and they've got the executive producer, which is Steven Soderbergh, and then they've got Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter returning. They've talked that Sadler will be back as Death in this one, because the film's going to be called Bill and Ted Face the Music. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that, because they're going to have kind of a cool dynamic, and it's supposed to be, you know, pretty fun. I wonder what they're going to, how they're going to pull off these two old guys trying to act, you know, either young again or, yeah, because, I mean, they're basically supposed to be, you know, as far as the plot's concerned, that it picks up with Bill and Ted basically doing the daily grind of middle age, you know, family men. And in fame and fortune of rock star life is yet to hit their band, you know, the Wild Stallions. And the lack of success manages to create a terror in time, which then sends the pair off on an all-new time-traveling adventure to set things right once more. And they've talked that they might have them run into their past selves from the first movie when the thing first shows up. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this thing kind of takes place, and what they do with it. No, on the other hand, sequels that don't need to happen, Space Jam 2. that's out there too. I can't even fathom it. But yeah, it's crazy. So we did have something interesting happen this week, other than the fact that I'm closing in on one more week of work, despite the giant frost going on of the polar vortex in Michigan, and in the extreme cold weather. They just had a energy company have some facility fire, and they're telling people to turn their heaters down to 65 degrees instead of actually having it warmer in their house, because they can't sustain the grid. They've got a variety of problems going on. Now, technically, I shouldn't even have my computer on and should be in bed or something and have the lights off and all that fun stuff. But yeah, they asked because of the natural gas and everything else that's going on, that it's supposed to help everyone keep power as they figure this out. And the polar snap is supposed to be over. Mind you, I'm recording this on a Wednesday, so the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are supposed to be the worst days of this whole polar vortex scenario, mostly between the Wednesday and Thursday. And Friday is supposed to climb back into the 20s, and then Saturday it's supposed to climb into the 40s again, and then stay in like the 30s and 40s after that. But yeah, it sucks. And so by the time this episode comes out, the whole advisory thing and the whole polar vortex will be done, thankfully. But yeah, it's been obscenely cold. And then plus the fact that because it's been cold, one of the locations of the business that I work for, now mind you, I have 2 weeks left. Now at the time this airs, it will be one full week left of work, before I'm unemployed. And the one building keeps closing because, again, customers aren't going to leave and aren't going to go to the store, because the one day it was open this week, it didn't do very well. And then he owns a few other businesses, and so I was able to go into one and do like IT maintenance on computers, and then and work on the websites and work on the social media for the other stores, for the food stores and everything. And so I was at least able to go in and keep busy, although I should have been able to work from home and still get all my hours, but he's like real weird about it. Never mind, I did it for like a year and a half and I still did all my work and wanted more, and they just didn't have it. But yeah, I've lost considerable amount of hours already, which is going to be terrible on the next check. Yeah, so I'm launching my own business. Now, mind you, I'm still looking for regular work, and if the right opportunity comes along, pretty much anything that's got decent pay, decent hours, and good insurance, I will be taking that in a heartbeat. But I will still be doing this as a side project outside of that. But I am trying to do it as my main hustle right now, because there's nothing else going, no phone calls, nothing. I'm launching my scp21studios.com, which I've had since like 2012, but I've not really done much with it. In 2016, I got a DBA for it. So you can go to the website scp21studios.com. And you can see a variety of the things that I've done. It shows the websites I've built. It shows the some audio stuff I've done. Not all the podcasting, of course, but there's a lot of stuff there. It shows some of the computer stuff I can do. It shows some of the video stuff I can do. And a lot of the graphics, heavy on the graphics. So if there's things that you guys need or you want, or like I do podcasting services, whether it's distribution, whether it's the website aspect, whether it's editing or helping you construct your craft or give you pointers. I'm by no means like a hardcore professionally paid podcaster, but I've been doing this for almost 12 years. Actually, I have been doing it for 12 years. And I like to think that I've picked up quite a bit of things along the way of what I've done wrong, what I've done right, what I should have been doing the entire time. And so it's something that I'm very passionate about. And I've actually spent 20 minutes after one of the Altered Geek spotlights conversing with one of the guests. And he was like, so how many episodes have you done? And I told him, I'm like, I'm going to record episode 316. And he's like, whoa, he says, you've been doing this a long time. And I says, well, yes and no. I'm like, I have a variety of shows. I've done a lot of different styles, a lot of different topics, a lot of different opinion pieces, a lot of different interviews. I says, I'm just kind of playing now. And so like, I'm having fun doing the interviews because it's something different. And I'll probably get some higher profile people on after a while. Not that the people that I have on aren't great, because they are. But I am looking forward to more voice actor interviews again. And it's been fun to explore this side of things and kind of discuss things with people that I normally would not have met had I not done this podcast guest experience. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. But back to the SCP-21 Studios, I will do podcast art, I'll do graphics, I'll do things for the website, I do things for print. The health food stores kind of helped me branch out to things that are not geek related and come up with art, which at times can be difficult, but it's not something that I can't figure out. It's just going in that direction. So yeah, I've been having fun with that. I've been doing that, and I really need the money, so I'm gonna have to do these as a side hustle for a while, and kind of figure out how it's going. And I've been applying to a lot of jobs, so hopefully I'll find something. But yeah, I thought I would throw that in there as a little bit of a update / teaser. I am gonna have an article in a local magazine, which is kind of cool. It's freelance, so I would love to write for other magazines or online platforms and get paid too. But it's there must be something about me, because I don't get phone calls back and I don't get emails back a lot of the time. I get ghosted a lot, which is unfortunate. But I don't think it's just me. I think it's kind of the whole market as a whole. But on a lighter note, something awesome happened. I was messing around with the Google Home with my kids, and funny enough, I tricked our Google Home. Yeah, it was really funny, because we were standing there with the kids, and, you know, a lot of time we'll be like, hey, Google, play this. Hey, you know, hey, Google, do that. And then it will. And I've tried to trick it and ask it questions, and it's got a voice print for my wife. And I thought, I wonder. And so I'll do like, I've done like, I discovered I can do a Pat Buttram impersonation, which I learned from, which is my impersonation of Rob Paulsen's Pat Buttram voice. So I'll actually walk around doing that just because it's funny, and I'm like, it's something different. Or I'll roll into Krang or something else. Variety of different voices anyway, and I'll talk to the smart speaker in those voices. And so I discovered that the Google Home can misidentify a person if you change your voice to sound like someone else. Point in case, I purposely sounded like my wife. I took on her cadence and how she speaks and how she says particular words. And the Google Home thought I was her. But if I talk like myself, it doesn't recognize my voice and then says... that it doesn't recognize me. I'm not one of the program voices. And so I posted this on Twitter, and Booth Ninja goes, feature, because I said security issues, and he says feature and puts the laughing, crying, which I could see that it is both, but I think it could be a security issue if you can change your voice and trick the device, because I was like, hey, Google, how old am I? And then it told me how old she was, like, based on birth date, and then it, you know, says, what's my name? And then it'll said my wife's name, and then I deepen my voice like this, and it's like, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question. Just like if you ask it, you know, what's my address, it won't answer you if you don't have the voice pattern, but if you say, where am I at right now, it will give you the address. It's just how you ask it, and it's really weird. I may do a demo with that sometime when I'm like solo in the house or something and try it out, but I think it's funny. But yeah, that's kind of what's been going on lately. I've got a few things that I'll probably talk about on the next episode. Don't really want to talk about it right now because, one, I don't have a co-host, and it's just getting late, and I have multiple episodes to record. So yeah, it's fun times. But yeah. Oh, and I also guested on a podcast from Hank Davis, which you may remember from Tiger Prince Entertainment, TPE. And he's doing a series on podcasting for people kind of getting into the medium. And there's a lot of these things going around, like, you know, like the New York Times has a beginner's guide to getting into podcasts, which, in all honesty, you got to take with a grain of salt when they come from any of these like corporate entities, because they don't fully understand the platform. They don't understand the podcast. They don't understand, like, yeah, they gauge them by success of the podcast and like how much ad sales and how much, you know, downloads it gets, because, you know, a radio show is converted into a podcast, or they have a different, you know, they come up with a particular chunk and kind of call it a podcast. And it's, and while they may be podcasts, they don't fully understand the medium. And that's why all these companies, like half of them are jumping ship and half of them are climbing into the podcast market after these other ones left. And so it's there's plenty of room for everyone to play. I think the problem is all these ones that are these corporately backed entities get most of the first looks, whereas they may not be as interesting as some of the other ones that are very niche or kind of buried in the mix and not powered by big money. And so it gets difficult. It really does. You know, depending on what you're looking for, or, you know, not looking at, you know, looking at particular standards. Like, some people are like, well, I have to have the NPR standards, but I also want to hear voices. So yeah, it's just finding what you want. And, you know, you can ask the Google Home too, if you like, you know, the name of a podcast. Like, I can say, hey Google, play Altered Geek, or play Altered Geek podcast. Now if you ask it about, you know, play a podcast by Steve Megatron, it will play All Things Transformers. I discovered this earlier, and it tells you the name of whatever the file is or whatever the episode is. Now, you can't skip it, unless, I'm sure you can if you play for Google Play, but if you don't, it plays the first most recent episode of any podcast just on their free plan. I don't know what it does if you pay for it, because I don't intend on doing that, but yeah, it's funny regardless. Yeah, I it's such a fun device to mess with, and so I recommend that people just have fun with it, try it out, see what they do. Same token, you probably should be careful what you say, because I'm sure a lot of it gets recorded, but yeah, regardless, it's fun. So I think I'm going to call it a night on this podcast. So until next time, you can get a hold of me on the Twitters at SCP21 or Altered Geek, and get Altered Geek Geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.